everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. We are off and running on the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. It's the 19th of March, 2025. Tom, looks like the first 90-degree temperature of the year, the first high of 90, actually 94, close to mid-90s on Tuesday. It seems kind of early. I think the average high for this time of year is 78.
It approaches?
Huh?
It approaches?
Of course it is. You know it's coming. I mean, it does seem a little early. And again, I was saying 78, the normal high for this time of year. And we're right at 70 for the high today, lower 70s. Perfect day here in southern Arizona. And we are ready to kick off spring. First day of spring tomorrow. So the changes are happening in the seasons here in southern Arizona.
The sun is going to be directly over the equator.
That is correct. That is correct.
And the folks around the equator should be wearing their hats, I think.
Oh, yeah. Right around the equator, temperatures. And, well, the sunrise is about 6 o'clock. Year-round, and sunsets about 6 in the
evening. So we'll have equal amount of daylight hours.
Down there, anyway. On the equator. All right, but we are in Tucson in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio at the Bustos Media Center here in central Tucson. We have 5 radio stations under one roof. I understand they are all doing very well. This one is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. It's the news talk station here that has so much local news and talk. And we're in our 15th year now with our radio program. That happened in January. We have our live listening of our program and all of the podcasts at buckmastershow.com. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, we will utilize the live line extensively today, beginning with our contributor on health, Dr. Victoria Mazes, founding executive director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, where she is a professor of medicine and public health. She is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine. She is committed to helping individuals lead healthier lives and in pioneering change efforts that solve the American healthcare system challenges. Together with her team at the center, she created and implemented educational programs that have trained thousands of physicians, nurses, and other health professionals and impacted the care of millions of people. A highly sought-after speaker, she's the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Integrative Women's Health, and author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. Dr. Mazes also co-hosts with Dr. Andrew Weil a popular podcast titled Body of Wonder. She was named one of the world's 25 most intelligent optimists by Ode Magazine. You can find her on her website, integrativemedicine@arizona.edu, and follow her on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Dr. Mazes. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I am doing well. Thanks, Bill.
Always a pleasure to have you on our program. And I've been a big fan of tuna fish. I think I could say probably all my life. I can remember eating it as a kid. I still enjoy it. There's been some questions about is it okay to eat it? What is the truth about tuna?
Yeah, I'm so glad that you asked. By the way, I also grew up eating tuna fish and enjoyed it, and I still enjoy it to this day. Mm-hmm. There's a lot about tuna that's really good. It is an excellent source of protein, and it is full of minerals and vitamins. It has more selenium than other foods. So there's a lot about it. It's very affordable. There's a lot that's really good for you. The problem with tuna is not really tuna. It's that tuna eats other things that contain the heavy metal mercury. And mercury is a neurotoxin, which means it damages the brain. So when we eat tuna, we get with it mercury. And that is especially a problem for pregnant women who have a fetus that's growing and whose brain is developing. It's especially a problem for young children. But it may also be a problem for adults in terms of our cognitive function, where it could be increasing inflammation in the brain and maybe increasing our risk of dementia. So tuna is great, but you don't want too much mercury. And so some tuna has more mercury than others, and that's the nuance that I really want listeners to appreciate, that there are better and worse tuna choices.
And when you do look at a can of tuna, you can also look for something that's called line-caught tuna, and that is more environmentally sensitive, correct?
Yes. So with tuna, there's two issues. One issue is personal health, and the other is planetary health. So just to finish up with the personal health, it is better to eat canned light tuna or skipjack tuna. Those are the ones that have the lowest amount of mercury in them. So, for example, canned light and canned skipjack have about 0.1 parts per million of mercury, whereas albacore tuna or white tuna has 0.4, so four times as much of the mercury if you get an albacore tuna than a light or skipjack tuna. And so we really recommend that you limit, especially really big tuna fish. Some of the big-eye tuna and bluefin tuna are very large fish, and they have more mercury because they bioaccumulate more in their flesh. In terms of planetary issues, we used to worry that when fish were caught in big nets, there was what was called bycatch, and we caught dolphins as well. But that's not thought to be as much of a problem anymore. It is still, however, thought ideally that you catch fish with a line, and that is going to get smaller tunas, which have less of that mercury bioaccumulating, and also that you're less likely to trap other fish that you don't actually want when you catch with a line.
So what about eating tuna raw in the form of sushi, Dr. Mazes?
So sushi is interesting because we tend not to know the English name always of the fish. Sometimes it's called by other things, although often tuna is what it's called in sushi. But, you know, sometimes you get just different kinds of names and you forget what the original fish is. So for sushi, you really don't want bluefin, which bluefin and big eye are often what is in sushi. And so you kind of want to see if you could find out what kind of tuna is in it, or not eat it frequently. You know, if you have sushi once or twice a year, you're going to be fine. You're not going to have a problem. It's really, in my experience, people who love sushi and eat it several times a week and are not choosing carefully that end up with high levels of mercury in their blood, and that can be a problem. I also want to point maybe to some other fish that are healthy choices.
Go ahead. What else would you recommend?
Well, as a doctor who gives a lot of nutrition advice, I really like people to think about what we call SMASH fish. SMASH is an acronym that stands for salmon, mackerel, anchovies, sardines, and herring. And these fish are especially good for you because they are rich in omega-3 fatty acids, which you and I have talked about over the years. Omega-3s reduce inflammation in the body. They are good for your heart and your brain. They're low in mercury, And so it's fine to eat them more often than you would eat tuna. They have a lot of protein, so 6 to 7 grams per ounce. Anchovies actually have even a little bit more than that. We all need protein, especially as we're getting older, to keep our muscle strength. And they have other nutrients like vitamin D, vitamin B12, iodine, selenium, and these are also really good for our immune health and our energy for the function of our thyroid. I did say mackerel, Atlantic mackerel, not king mackerel. King mackerel is another very big fish that has high levels of mercury.
Just had a listener texted me about the fish tapia. Do you know anything about it, Dr. Mises?
I think they meant tilapia.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Tilapia is a common fish.
Yes,
it's
tilapia.
A mild white fish. It's yummy. It's mostly a farm fish, which means that it can be good for the planet because it can be grown sustainably. The main thing I'd say is that tilapia is a source of omega-6 rather than omega-3. So you're not getting those good anti-inflammatory omega-3s that you mostly get in the diet from fish. So that's the only downside. But otherwise, it's absolutely a good choice. And trout is also a good choice, but also not necessarily a source of omega-3 fatty acids.
And before we leave the subject of tuna, some folks enjoy an ahi steak. So we should discuss a little bit about cooking and cooking tuna.
Yeah, so ahi is also something that you're going to see in restaurants, and it can potentially come from different tunas. And so to the extent that you're able, you are going to want to find out what kind of tuna the ahi came from. Hopefully, if you're getting it at a store or at a restaurant, you can find out. The skipjack is the best. The light tuna is the best. And the bluefin is one that you really do want to be careful about. Same with the big eye, because they have more mercury. And also bluefin in particular is not seen to be a sustainable. We worry about overfishing, and Pacific bluefin is at 10% of its historical population, so it could go extinct if we aren't careful.
All right, Dr. Victoria Mises, in our segment number 2 with Dr. Mises, how about alternatives to real meat? We'll stay on the nutrition topic with Dr. Mises as we continue. It's the Buckmaster Radio Program for this midweek edition. We'll be right back.
The Regional Transportation Authority invests over $100 million annually in transportation improvements in the greater Tucson region based on public input. The RTA and its regional partners deliver roadway, transit, safety, pedestrian, bicycle, environmental, and other needed improvements to meet the demands of transportation network users over a 20-year period. Learn more about the economic and quality of life benefits of the RTA's 2006 voter-approved plan and flexible funding at rtamobility.com. Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios in the Bustos Media Center here in central Tucson. And we're continuing in segment two with our monthly conversation with Dr. Victoria Mazes, the founding executive director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, where she's also a professor of medicine and public health. And we're delighted that she is part of the roster of our great contributors to our program. In segment number one, we discussed the truth about tuna. Now we're going to turn to the what's commonly been called fake meat, Dr. Mazes, comparing it to real meat. So is fake meat better for you than real meat? Dr. Mazes.
I'm sorry. Okay. Isn't it interesting that we're asking these questions about fake meat?
Yes.
But anyone who's gone to a restaurant recently has seen Impossible Burger or Beyond Burger or other plant-based. And, you know, the idea is that they are formulated to taste like meat, like burgers, even though they are made from plant materials, beans or peas or other things, and then hopefully flavored and just really dealt with to make them taste good. The question about how good they are for your health is tricky. On the one hand, we're always telling people, eat more plants, you know, eat more vegetables, eat less meat. But the plant-based meats are what we call ultra-processed. And so they have to be manipulated quite a bit to give them the same flavor profile, juiciness, as meat. And that's where it's complicated.
Well, let's compare, let's take 85% lean ground beef, for instance, containing about 6.5 grams of saturated fat. So what's the equivalent like for like a veggie burger?
Yeah, so it has a little less fat, just a little less, depending on what kind you get. Maybe some has significantly less. It has a similar amount of protein. Remember, they're really working to make them similar. The upside of the plant-based meat is that it would have more fiber. There's no fiber in beef. That's one of the things. Real meat does not have fiber. Fiber comes from vegetables. So that is the upside, that it does have some fiber. Recently, there have been a couple of studies published, and one study that was funded by the meat industry said that when people ate 2.5 servings of real meat a day for 2 months compared to 2.5 servings of plant-based meat, they lost a little weight and their cholesterol went down a little when they were on the fake meat. And that study was carried out by Christopher Gardner, who is a very highly respected nutritional researcher at Stanford. He acknowledged that sometimes people are skeptical when the industry funds the study, and he put in place a lot of protections to be sure that it was an accurate study. Interestingly, however, a more recent study published last year compared 40 people who, again, had 2.5 servings a day of plant-based meat versus real meat, and there was no difference in their health over those 2 months. So when they replicated the study, they did not find any difference at all. That was funded by an agricultural research firm. So I think the answer is we still don't know for sure. I personally believe that the plant-based meat is going to get healthier over time, it is going to be a better choice. The other thing is that when you think about our planet, we talked about the planet and tuna, but now we're talking about a land animal. Land animals take the most resources. When we raise cows, it is very intensive needs for land, for water. The cows produce methane gas, which is hard on the environment. And so from the planetary perspective, it probably is a good thing that we are having these substitutes of plant-based or fake meats so that we eat a little bit less real meat. Yeah.
So those on a plant-based diet, it's a lot more than with many folks, and I know some very personally, it's more than really the nutritional thing. It is more of an ethical concern, Dr. Mazes.
Right. So there's a lot of reasons people move away from meat.
Yeah.
And one of them is health. We know that there are downsides to eating meat. There's an increased risk of cancer of a variety of kinds when you eat meat. There's an increased risk of heart disease associated, especially with the more processed meats. But other people don't do it for health reasons. They do it for ethical reasons, for humane treatments of animals. And that would be another reason to say, I am going to move away. Now, when people move away from eating meat, sometimes they miss the taste of it. Mm-hmm. And they are interested in the plant-based. If you're not missing the taste, then I would say it's much better to just eat legumes, beans, peas, lentils, you know, eat those legumes, eat whole grains, eat vegetables. But if you really miss the taste, then switching out for plant-based meats might be a good option.
I know some of the veggie burgers, and I can speak from personal experience lately, they are outstanding, some of the ones I've been tasting. So I don't really miss, I don't miss the burgers a little bit, but not as much.
Right. And of course, you know, it also depends what else is on that veggie burger. You know, if you have it with some avocado, if you have it with some fresh tomato, with pickles, you know, you're still getting that mouthfeel and that flavor. It is good for us to think about more vegetables and less meat. And however we do it, that is a smart health choice.
All right, Dr. Victoria Mazes, one other item that of course, has been in the news. Rural areas of Texas, New Mexico have had outbreaks of measles, and we'll be addressing this more on our Friday Focus interview with Pima County Health Director Dr. Cullen will be our guest on Friday. But generally, you're pro-vaccine is the best way to prevent these things like measles, correct?
Yes, I am. So measles can be prevented by vaccination. The vaccine is 97% effective. And the few percent who may have what we call a breakthrough case, it tends to be much milder. I am old enough that I remember admitting children to the hospital with very severe illnesses related to these now vaccine-preventable conditions, measles, Haemophilus influenza B, meningitis, other things. And I think that that experience, of course, shapes you when you see how very, very sick people become. We know there's already been one death of a child who wasn't vaccinated. I believe that it's about 1 in 1,000 children with measles who may well die from the condition. The other thing people may not be aware of is measles is a little odd. It wipes out your immunity to other illnesses, whether you got that immunity from a vaccine or from actually having chickenpox or having viral illnesses of different kinds. And so measles is not to be messed with. It's a really significant illness.
I understand it's one of the most contagious diseases known in the world.
That is absolutely true. A lot of things you can't get unless you touch a surface.
Yes.
You know, you actually get someone's saliva on your hand. Measles is in the air of the room of the person who has the measles, and it can remain for 2 full hours. And it's said that if you are in a room with someone with measles, it infects 90% of the people who are exposed to it. So again,
Wow. You
may be in the same room as someone who has the flu, but you don't catch the flu
mm-hmm.
because you didn't touch the surface they touched. You didn't shake hands with them. You washed your hands. Measles, just breathing the air, 90% of the people exposed. So the best way to prevent measles is with vaccination.
All right. Good session. Thank you very much, Dr. Mazes. We'll look forward to talking to you next month. Thank you.
You're welcome. Take good care, Bill.
All right. You can find out more about Dr. Victoria Mazes at the integrativemedicine.arizona.edu website. And, of course, you can follow her on X at Dr. Mazes. Coming up next, Troy Hutchison of GoAZCats.com. Yes, it is that season. Basketball fever is here, and lots of folks catching it. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things on their 13-acre site, 3384 East River Road, also has the business called Zocalo Village. And they have some incredible items, imported items from Mexico, Latin America, and even Europe. A couple of the shops there, a couple of the buildings, three to be specific, must be torn down. They're in the floodplain, so the demolition sale continues on as the merchandise is going out the door to some very happy consumers because they are getting discounts up to 50% off. The website, ZocaloVillage.com, and GreenThingsAZ.com, open daily, 3384 East River Road, family owned and operated since 1970. When we do our telephone interviews, and that's pretty much the way we're going today on this midweek edition, our live line is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. All right, it is that time of year. Many, many sports fans here in Tucson look forward to mid-March all season long because that's basketball tournament time. Troy Hutchison of GoAZCats.com joins us now on the live line. Hey, Troy, how are you?
Good, good. How are you doing today, Bill?
Good, good. You are a busy guy. You've got the basketball, and then you've got spring football. We'll circle back to spring football later in the half hour. But, of course, while it means little, Troy, heading into the NC2A men's basketball tournament, which begins actually tomorrow, Arizona jumped back into the AP top 25 on Monday to place number 21, but they are seeded number 4. And was that based, in your opinion, on how they performed in the Big 12 basketball tournament?
Yeah, you know, I think going into the Big 12 tournament, Arizona was a lock at the very least to get a 5 seed in the tournament. Could have moved all the way up to a 3 seed, in my opinion. They finished with the top 4 seed in the East region. So that puts them at number 16 in the country, I believe, off the top of my head. But they're a win away from securing that 3 seed against Houston, fell short down the stretch of that game. And now Arizona's going to be heading out east for the first time in program history. This is the first time Arizona is in the East region.
And what are how are they playing? What's the setup for Arizona in the tournament, please, Troy?
Yeah, so the number one seed in the East are the Duke Blue Devils, and then you have Arizona at that 4 seed, meaning if they advance all the way to the Sweet 16, you will see Arizona and Duke more than likely again. Again, Duke has to get there as well, with Baylor and Mississippi State potentially in their way. Arizona will open up the tournament on Friday at 4:25 Mountain Standard Time against Akron. Akron is a team that, you know, has NCAA experience. They have a head coach in Coach Scott that has been around the league, around the NCAA before, taking 3 different teams to the tournament in Ohio and Illinois, and now he's done it with Akron again. So some NCAA experience there from the head coach, and that's going to be first up against number 13 seed Akron.
And that is up in Seattle?
Correct, yeah. So even though it is the East region, the NCAA tries to pair the West Coast teams and the East Coast teams in their own perspective region for the first and second round. And then the East region will officially start in New Jersey during the Sweet 16 and Elite Eights.
So Arizona 22-12 for the season, and it looks like Akron has had a pretty darn good season. They've won 28 games and lost 6, I believe. Now, they have been to the tournament before, but I don't think they've actually won a tournament game.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those programs that's searching for their first tournament win. But as you look at their schedule, yes, it's impressive, 28 wins. Against other NCAA tournament teams, they've gone, all, I believe, 0-2, 0-3. And against St. Mary's, they got blown out by 20-plus points. So there is definitely, I don't want to say a talent differential in terms of the team that Arizona's facing, but I mean, that's what you get when you are a 4 seed. You get a lesser seed in the 13 seed. But again, this is March Madness, and we've seen Arizona get upset by seeds 15, 14, 13, 12, all the way up to, you know, that 8-9 matchup.
Let's talk a little bit about Arizona and the tournament history. It's been a checkered past for Arizona in the tournament, to put it mildly.
Yeah, you know, I think right now, I wouldn't say Tommy Lloyd's on the hot seat, but Arizona fans are definitely questioning his ability to coach in the tournament, albeit I think they should have probably questioned Sean Miller's ability to coach in the tournament as well, because the standard of the program is making Final Fours and being out on the national stage and competing for championships. And hasn't met that standard for about 20-something years now. Arizona's last Final Four was in 2001 against Duke. Obviously, they lost in the title game. And since then, the program's been searching for that Final Four. Sean Miller got to 3 Elite Eights, came within a shot twice of getting to a Final Four. For Tommy, his obstacle right now is the Sweet 16. In his first season, they got blown out by Houston. And then the second year, they got upset in the first round against Princeton. And just last season, lost to Clemson by 5 points in the Sweet 16 to get to the Elite Eight. So for him, it's breaking through that Sweet 16 barrier.
How do you like this tournament? A lot of parity, Troy Hutchison?
You know, I think there's a lot of parity in terms of all the number one seeds. I don't think you can make a case for anybody else that's out, except for maybe St. John's to be in that one seed line. I think they're all very strong number one seeds, but I don't think it's a lot of top heaviness. There isn't that, you know, UConn from the last 2 years. There isn't that Florida or Duke or North Carolina teams of the past where you go into the tournament and you say, yeah, they're going to win the title. Nobody's going to stand in their way. So there's a parity and sense of that. But I feel like the top four seeds, there is a little bit of a difference between them and the rest of the lower seeds. Now, that's not to say New Mexico sitting at 10 couldn't surprise some people and get to an Elite Eight, maybe a Sweet 16. But I do feel like the better teams in the country are in that top four seed line right now.
I know that, we all know how many people take part in office pools and they make their predictions. Just curious about you, Troy. Have you made some predictions?
You know, I'm going through my bracket. I have a few of friends. I don't know if we're going to do one in terms of Go Easy Cats for the website for the fans on there yet or not. But I keep on going back to the Big 12 and the SEC being the strongest conferences in the country. And it's not even close to be, you know, frank about it. So I look at my Elite Eight, and every single matchup as of right now is a Big 12 school versus an SEC school. So I don't know if I want to change that. I feel like I need to change that. But, you know, when you just look at the body of work those two conferences have put together, you're talking about the old days of the Big East and the ACC. That's how dominant these two conferences have been this season.
How about landmines for the U of A basketball team looking ahead?
Yeah, you know, I think the second round, potentially Oregon or Liberty, but either one of those two teams could give Arizona some issues. I think it's crazy to say this, but I almost would rather play Oregon if I was Arizona, because Oregon plays at an up-tempo mark. They like to get the game going, and so does Arizona. So you're playing at your pace. You know the opponent. You know the coach. You're very familiar with them, and so are they. So I would probably rather play Oregon if I were Arizona. Liberty, they like to slow it down, and they shoot a lot of threes. I believe they're second in the country in three-point percentage at 41%. They hit an incredibly high rate. They have a lot of guys on the roster that can shoot the three ball. And when you have a team that can slow it down and then at the end of the clock hit a big-time bucket from deep, that's trouble for Arizona. And that's been trouble the last several games with Tommy Lloyd and really with Sean Miller as well. Those are the type of teams that could upset Arizona, is a good three-point shooting team that likes to grind it down and slow it down.
All right, we're talking with Troy Hutchison of GoAZCats.com. The Arizona women's basketball team, they did not make the NC2A tournament, correct? They're in the, what is the women's equivalent of the NIT for the men?
Yeah. It used to be the WNIT. I believe they just changed the name this season. Mm-hmm. So I don't know the exact name off the top of my head. But they will be hosting NAU in a rematch. And I believe Arizona dropped that game to the Lumberjacks this season. So that's going to be a tough rematch for Arizona. Obviously, a little bit of an underwhelming season. I would say a disappointing season. You're going into the Big 12 Conference, which was an easier conference than the Pac-12, and that's no debate there. And yet you finish lower half of the conference, barely make the tournament, and really struggle down the road. The program definitely isn't where it was 4 or 5 years ago. It may not be where it was 3 years ago as of this moment.
And by the way, it is now called the Women's Basketball Invitational Tournament, the WBIT. So that's the where the Arizona women's basketball program is. So, Troy, you want to make any predictions on where you see the Wildcats going back to the men ending up in the tournament?
Yeah, you know, I think they do have an upset in them. I like that Duke-Arizona matchup the second time around for Arizona. Cooper Flagg obviously rolled his ankle severely in the ACC tournament in the semifinal game. Didn't play in the championship. No, I think he did play. I can't remember off the top of my head, but was very limited. And it's one of those ankle rolls, as U of A fans remember. Kirk Creasa had the same issue as they entered the tournament, and you saw how swollen his ankle got. And that could take a long time to heal and really fully recover from. So who knows what he's going to look like if that matchup does happen. And they're missing one of their best defenders that went down with a season-ending injury in the ACC tournament as well. You couple that with the fact that Henry Vassar wasn't getting a lot of minutes at that point in time when Arizona and Duke first played. Carter Bryant wasn't the same player he is now. I like Arizona to upset Duke in the Sweet 16, move on to an Elite Eight, and that's probably where their season ends in New Jersey against Alabama.
All right. And the women's basketball, is that here in Tucson, do you know?
Yes. As far as I know, the first two rounds will be in Tucson. If I remember correctly, going back to the WNIT, once you move past that, it's up to the school to bid for home games. In Arizona, when they won the WNIT, the athletic department spent the money and got them home games for every single round, including the title game where they beat Northwestern to win the WNIT. I don't know if that's feasible. I'm sure it's something Arizona would like to do if the women continue to win in their postseason. But with the university's financial issues as of right now, I don't know if that's a feasible goal like it was so many years ago.
All right. Before we quickly take the break and we talk about a little bit about spring football, the U of A spring football, Coach Tommy Lloyd has made some comments recently about the atmosphere at McHale. And I see that the athletic director at the U of A is talking about perhaps a redesigned court coming at McHale. Do you know anything about that?
I was there in Kansas when he made the comments about Arizona and its home crowd. And I have to say he's correct. My family has been going to Arizona basketball games since McHale opened in the 70s. I've been to games many times as a kid and growing up and now as a journalist. And looking back the last, I would say, about 10, 15 years, the atmosphere really isn't the same, and it's gotten worse over the years. Just at the end of the regular season, Utah played Arizona at a 7 p.m. game on a Wednesday in Tucson. Everybody was complaining about the 9 p.m., 8 p.m. games. Well, you got a 7 p.m. game, and yet there's about 2,000 to 3,000 seats missing from the stadium.
Empty, yeah.
So, which was never the case back in the day. It didn't matter who they played. Mm-hmm. The stadium was sold out. I think, one, it is Tucson, and the crowd is getting older, and two, the environment just isn't as crazy as it was throughout the whole game. There's spurts of it, but when you're a fan standing up, and I've had it happen to me before I got into journalism, and I've seen many people complaining about it before, when you're cheering for the team you're standing and you have somebody yelling at you to sit down from behind, it doesn't make it enjoyable.
Okay.
And so I would definitely say it's on the Arizona fans. I don't think court design really helps with that. I do think moving the student section to more middle would be an improvement, but that's probably not going to happen in terms of revenue and money. And two, the lighting needs fixed. When Sean Miller first came to Tucson, they had normal stadium lighting, and you could see everybody in the crowd, and it felt a little bit more lively. And then he went to the NBA stage lighting. Mm-hmm. So it's very dim, and you could see the court, but you really can't see the fans, I would say, about 10 rows back.
Oh.
And I just feel like it lulls you to sleep a little bit. So if you fix that lighting, you might get a little bit more energetic crowd.
Wake everybody up. Good point. Troy Hutchison, GoAZCats.com. A few quick notes on spring football when we come back with Troy. After the break, we'll be back then with segment four.
Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax through June 2026. The funding has led to a $1.6 billion investment in regional transportation improvements over the past two decades to improve your quality of life. The RTA is working on a final draft of a new regional transportation plan for future voter consideration. The $2.46 billion draft plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, environmental, and other needed improvements. Learn more at rtanext.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Great sponsor. We send a ton of our listeners over there. Everybody has a great time. It's only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. There's a lot of activities, mainly top-heavy on the outdoor activities, as you would suspect. A lot of hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Check it out. SouthwestNewMexico.org is their website. Start your planning now for your enchanting visit in the land of enchantment. And, oh, by the way, did I say it's only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson? Troy Hutchison of GoAZCats.com is with us on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Troy, tell us a little bit about GoAZCats.com.
Yeah, so GoAZCats.com, it is the Arizona Rivals affiliate website here locally. It is not through the University of Arizona, but Rivals.com and Yahoo.com as well. We cover everything under the sun at Arizona in terms of the day-to-day team coverage, and as well as recruiting for football and men's basketball, with Matt Moreno taking care of the recruiting side. But all Arizona Wildcats basketball, football, sometimes the Title IX sports as well, with baseball too, we have everything covered there, and we are full go with the tournament coverage and spring football.
And what is the price to get into your product?
For the month, it is $9.95 a month, and for the year, I believe it is $99.95 for the year.
There you go. What a bargain. All right. Spring football has begun. The Cats had a disappointing season under their first-year coach, Brent Brennan. This will be his second. It is now his second year. Were they 4-8 last year? What's the feeling at spring camp, which I believe just began?
Yeah, you know, it started yesterday, so right now it's a feeling of optimism and a little bit of excitement with the new faces on the coaching staff, a lot of new faces on the roster, with some transferring out, some graduating, and you bring in a lot of transfers to cover those holes, and also freshmen after the recruiting class. So a lot of newness right now, and a lot of energy and a lot of enthusiasm. Now, you know, spring football, it's kind of the time to see what your freshmen can do, see where there's some holes on the roster, learn the new system that you're going to be having with Seth Dagey as the new offense coordinator, Danny Gonzalez as the new defense coordinator, who was the former linebacking coach. So that's going to be a new defensive scheme there. So you're going to learn those schemes. And then, you know, near the end of spring, you could see maybe some players transfer out, Arizona grab some players in the portal, and really shore up the roster before the off season comes to a close, and as they move into training camp start of August, which is a month out from the start of the first game of the season. So that gets going in August.
And how many players transferred? A lot of them went onto the portal from last year.
Yeah, you know, I believe the final number was somewhere between 28 to 31. Arizona did bring about 6 to 7 of those guys back who entered the portal after they made the coaching changes and they got to see what was going to be different from this previous season and explore the portal. You're just in that day of college football and really college sports in general where entering the portal no longer means the player is 100% leaving. Usually when a player enters the portal, they probably know where they're going to go. In this day and age and what they can get in terms of NIL. But sometimes it is to explore options, see what NIL deals are out there, see what position, you know, openings are out there, if it's greener on the other side, and then come back and make a decision. But, you know, the portal is a part of college life now.
Where will Arizona be ranked in the Big 12 for the autumn season in 2025?
Yeah, you know, the Big 12 preseason predictions were way off last year. You know, ASU was picked near the bottom, and they ended up winning the conference. And the top five, I think only two of those ended up in the top five of the conference, and Arizona was one of the ones that exited the top five. So I think as of right now, what Arizona has coming back, the receiving core that they put together, and the changes that you've seen on the coaching staff, it's hard to see Arizona in that top five. I would probably guess they're anywhere from there's what, 16 teams in the conference, probably anywhere from 10 to 16 in that range. I don't think they're going to get a lot of love. I don't think they're going to get a lot of hype this season. And, you know, after the performance, not only the team put together, but the coaching staff too, I think it's equal blame. You're going to see Arizona near the bottom half of the conference in terms of preseason predictions.
All right, Troy Hutchison. Thank you very much, Troy. Very busy time of year for you. We appreciate you carving out a couple of 10-minute segments for us. Thank you, sir.
No problem. Have a good one, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Troy Hutchison, GoAZCats.com. On behalf of Mr. Hutchison and Tom on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster, wishing everybody well.